Well, you can turn your Bible to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 this morning. In junior church, my wife and I have been doing a study through the life of Paul and taking the junior church kids basically from where it begins on the road to Damascus, as far as we know, and recorded history, and then taking them on through the life of Paul and sharing lessons along the way, different things we've been learning. And there was one that I did a couple weeks ago that I want to look at with you folks this morning. I want to dive in a little bit deeper. Just to bring you up to speed on where we're at in Acts chapter 13, we have just started with Paul on the very first missionary journey. We would see in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, how that the Holy Spirit named Paul and Barnabas and called them out by name from the church in Antioch and said, "Separate these men unto the work which I have called them." They are called by name from the church to go out on the first missionary journey. Then we move on to the following verses, and we see how that they set sail for the island of Cyprus. There they preach throughout the entire island. The entire gospel, the gospel spread across that entire island, and it is concentrated specifically in the capital city of Paphos, where they meet a man by the name of Sergius Paulus. He was the deputy of the island, the highest-ranking Roman official over that area. And this man, the most important man on the island, accepts Christ as his personal Savior, despite the contradiction, despite the work of a man by the name of Elymas. You can see that in verses 6 and 7, who resisted the message that Paul and Barnabas brought. So there's a couple things happening here. Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, people are getting saved, people are hearing the gospel all across the island. Most important man gets saved. Elymas is silenced. His message and his, I don't want to call it ministry, but his work is discredited. People aren't listening to him anymore. And really, overall, you look at it, great things are happening. Great things are happening on his first missionary journey. If you were to compare it to what happens in Iconium and Lystra and other places where Paul faces great persecution, we don't hear that happening in Cyprus. Perhaps he endured it. Perhaps some things did happen there. But the Word of God, as if we were to read these first couple verses of Acts chapter 13, really paints a picture that really good things are happening. They face some resistance, but the gospel has been spread in Cyprus. Good things are happening. And finally, the Lord tells them to move on, set sail for the city of Perga. Let's go ahead and read Acts chapter 13. In verse 13, wherein it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." So God's been doing great things on this first missionary journey. Why would John Mark want to leave them now, when such things as this have been happening? The Bible does not say in Acts chapter 13 why John Mark left the team. If we were to look at Acts chapter 15, we might get some ideas. That is right when they were getting ready to start the second missionary journey. And in Acts chapter 15, I believe it's in verse 38, it says, "But Paul thought not good to take him," that's John Mark, "with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." It seems that John Mark's departure had something to do with the work of the ministry. We could speculate, we could think of various reasons why he may not have gone, but it had something to do with the work of the ministry. Maybe he didn't want to do it. But whatever the case, whatever the reason was, I think we can know that this was for certain, and that was, it was probably a disappointment for Paul and Barnabas. To see a fellow laborer step away from the ministry for whatever reason, whether it was a good or bad reason, this was probably a disappointment for Paul and Barnabas. If we were to look through the various epistles in the New Testament, you can see time and again where Paul says, "This man, Marcus, this man, Aristarchus, Timothy, Luke, these are my fellow laborers. I love them in the Lord." And Paul expresses that all throughout the New Testament. And for him to have a man in his group, a man in his missions team, if you will, step away and sail back to Jerusalem was probably a disappointment for Paul and Barnabas. This was a moment, I believe, that defined the first missionary journey. It was a moment where they had to decide to trust God and to move on, or to face this disappointment. I think when you consider it, John Mark's departure could have been a moment that jeopardized the rest of the first missionary journey. There are times in life where you will face disappointment. We all do. Can't get away from it. It comes from every area of life. But how you respond to those times will be the difference between spiritual victory and spiritual defeat. There are some dangers that we must avoid with that. And these dangers are the things that I want to look at and discuss this morning. When you face disappointment, first of all, I want you to see, first of all, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. There was one afternoon a couple weeks ago, I'll never forget it. It was probably back in November, back in December. It was one afternoon, it may have been a Tuesday afternoon, it was time for me to go to work. Got all my bags together, said goodbye to Jana and Bradley, headed out the door. And I remember I put my things in my car, cranked the car on, put it in gear, and I looked back over at the house, and I looked at the window, and Bradley was old enough by now. He knew I was leaving. He knew what I was going to do. I was going to work. And there have been different times in the past when he cried when I walked out, you know. New experience for me as a young dad. It was hard. But I looked back over at the window, and I saw Bradley's little red hair. I saw his head right there above the window. He had climbed up on a chest that we have in the living room, and he sat down in that chair, pulled the curtains aside, and there he was looking out the window. And I just paused for a moment and looked at him and waved. I saw that little chubby hand wave back, you know. And as I put the car in reverse and headed out the driveway, I'll tell you, that hurt. That was a new experience. It hurt for me as a young dad to have to wave goodbye. I mean, it's something we do almost every day. You as parents can really appreciate that. It's one of those things you have to do every day, leaving your family behind as you leave for work. As I pulled out of our driveway, it felt like someone had taken a little piece of my heart and left it behind that afternoon. It's a fact of life that anytime you part ways with a loved one, whether it's just for a daily thing to go to work, or whether it's a college student leaving family come down here to Ambassador, even if it's something that you do almost every day, sometimes saying goodbye to loved ones can hurt. Can hurt when you have to say goodbye. For those of you who are grandparents, it can hurt when you have to say goodbye to the grandkids and maybe not even see them for a couple of months. Got a question for you. Do you think it hurt when Paul and Barnabas said goodbye to John Mark? You think it hurt when they said goodbye to their fellow laborer? I don't know what the reason was. But do you think it hurt and they would have been tempted to be discouraged? Do you think Paul, as he expressed such love for his fellow laborers, do you think as he saw one leave on this first missionary journey, do you think he may have been tempted to think, do I really want to keep doing this? Do I really want to keep moving forward and preaching the gospel to my brethren, the Jews, who I know it's very likely they're not going to receive this message? You think Paul may have been tempted to be discouraged? It says in Acts 13, verse 5, says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Do you think once John Mark left, somebody had to pick up the slack? Somebody had to do more work? Somebody else had to stay up a little later? Somebody else had to put in a little more time into the work of the ministry? I don't know what work John Mark did. Maybe he helped with the ministry. Maybe he helped simply by preparing their meals, doing their laundry. You never know. He labored in some way to take some of that work, some of that time off of Paul and Barnabas so that they could be going about preaching the gospel. Once he left, they had to pick up the work. If you're a college student, sometimes your grades might disappoint you a little bit. Sometimes you might be in that moment, just like Paul and Barnabas, where you're at a moment where you could be disappointed about your progress or what you've done. Maybe if you're a college student, you're running on an average of 4 hours of sleep. You're working that job. Maybe you're trying to put some time into a relationship. You've studied as much as you can. You've prayed for a miracle. And then you take the test. You get back in your mailbox what looks like a child's coloring book. I remember having some of those from my Greek exegesis with Pastor Camp. That could be a moment of discouragement. It's a moment of disappointment, but it doesn't have to be a moment of discouragement. It says in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Parents, sometimes your children may disappoint you. I'm starting to learn this. Sometimes your teenager may disappoint you. Sometimes your adult children may disappoint you. One day your child will do the right thing. The next week, the next day they won't. You'll wonder, where did this ever come from? In those moments of disappointment, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged about it. It's in those times where you must refresh yourself in the Lord and, like the psalmist, say, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." You and I will face disappointment. We cannot avoid that. But how will you respond to it? Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Secondly, I'd like you to see here in chapter 13, verse 13, we don't see that Paul is discouraged. Secondly, don't be bitter. I don't see in this verse or anywhere else in Paul's life that Paul was bitter about the decision that John Mark made to step away during the first missionary journey. I wonder how John Mark left Paul and Barnabas. Did he tell them beforehand? Did he announce it? Did he say, "Hey, I've gotten a ticket, going back on a boat, going back to Jerusalem"? Did John Mark simply walk off and they went to bed one day, one night, came back the next morning, he was gone? How did John Mark leave? Did he tell them what he was doing? Did he say goodbye? Did he just take his things and go? I don't know, but if one thing is for sure, if Paul and Barnabas were like us, and they were tempted to be bitter against John Mark. You might think to yourself, "Oh no, not Barnabas. He was a son of consolation. I mean, Paul, he was an apostle. These were men who encouraged and edified others. Look at how they loved the brethren in the churches. Surely these men were not bitter. They were men just like you and I. They were men who were tempted in the same ways that you and I are." Could think of the game of tug-of-war. How many of you have played the tug-of-war and have played a game, you're really trying to win, but this is a round that goes on for what seems like hours? I remember at least one round at Servant's Heart Camp of playing tug-of-war. You had 20 people on either end of the rope, and not only was it just rope, you had a tractor in the middle that you were trying to pull. Really no point to it, just to make the game that much more dramatic. But we were playing a game of tug-of-war, and I think this may have happened to us on at least one occasion. Bunch of teenage guys, you are there on the rope, you're giving it your very best, you're tugging with all your might, and as you're doing that, you see one of your cabin mates step off the rope and go sit down. Now, during a game of tug of war, if you're really giving it your best, is that really the most encouraging thing that one of your teammates can do? No, it's not. In that moment, in that split second, you're tempted with being bitter. You're tempted with being bitter with your teammate playing tug of war. Well, Paul and Barnabas, the missions team, John Mark, were in a game of tug of war, and John Mark stepped off that rope. He stepped off that rope. I don't know what took him, but for some reason he did. And Paul and Barnabas were tempted with being bitter against John Mark. When Paul and Barnabas decide to embark on that second missionary journey, Paul did not think it was wise to take John Mark with him again. In Acts 15:38 it says, "But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work." It has the idea of being that he did not think it was right, it was fit, it was proper. He did not think it was a wise decision to take John Mark with them, the man who had gone home when they were halfway through the journey. I don't think Paul was holding a grudge. I don't think Paul was bitter. Paul simply thought it wasn't the right thing to do at the time. It's interesting, 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul later wrote that Mark was profitable to me for the ministry. Brethren, when people disappoint you, don't get bitter. Don't get bitter. This was a time that could have been a very trying time for the Apostle Paul. Maybe he, maybe Barnabas, had poured their lives into this young man. They had poured their lives into him, and for whatever reason, he dropped out. He moved on. When people drop out on you, when they quit, when they go home, when they go a different direction than what they were originally going with you, don't get bitter. And to the teens and to the college students, I want to express this. When an authority in your life, when a leader in your life, somebody that you look up to disappoints you, and they will, don't get bitter against them. Don't get bitter against them. God could take that moment of disappointment and use that to mold you, not only teach you a lesson of what not to do, but teach you a lesson of drawing you closer to Himself. It's just really how you will respond in that moment of disappointment. Always remember, the authorities in your life are humans too. Not only do we see various ways of responding to disappointment, you don't be discouraged, you don't be bitter, but thirdly, I want you to see, you don't blame others, and you don't blame God. Don't blame others, and don't blame God. I want you to consider this, in the first part of Acts chapter 13, in verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You don't see John Mark's name there. You don't see any indication that John Mark was ever named by the Holy Spirit as an individual to go on this missionary journey. We see Paul was, we see Barnabas was. They were selected, and we can see if we were to study out that passage how that they were ready for the work. They were already involved in the ministry. They were fasting, they were praying, they were seeking God's will. It is evident from the verses there, from the context, that they were ready to do the work that God had assigned them to. John Mark, we don't see that he was ever selected or appointed to this task. I think it was fine that he went along. I think it was fine, but the Holy Ghost never indicated that he had to go. Paul and Barnabas were chosen by name because they were ready for the work. They were equipped for the task. John Mark, he was Barnabas' nephew. Perhaps Barnabas extended an invitation to him. Perhaps John Mark simply volunteered. Whatever the case may be, he wasn't originally intended to go on the trip, but he decided to. You think Paul was ever inclined, or he ever was tempted to say to Barnabas, after John Mark had left, maybe he went to Barnabas and said, so Barnabas, about John Mark, you know, if we ever do this again, if we ever go on a second missionary journey, do you think he'll come along again? Do you think we'll invite him to go along this time? Sounds like just an innocent question, right? But it could have been a temptation for Paul to blame Barnabas or to blame John Mark or to blame God for what happened here in this moment. Right when everything was going well, right when people were being saved and they were moving on to see God do a work in another city, we see this young man leave. And it could have been a temptation for these men to assign blame. Brethren, when you face disappointment in life, you will be tempted to assign blame to somebody. Especially you guys that are problem solvers, that want to identify the problem, identify why it happened, and make sure it never happens again so that you aren't disappointed, so that you don't have the same result that you just had. I'm one of those guys. I like to make sure that if a problem happens, you try and avoid it. Try and avoid the problem that created the whole issue in the first place. When you do that, it's very easy to assign blame. It's very easy to put it on somebody other than put it on someone, one of your friends. It's very easy to put it on yourself. It's not profitable. It doesn't help. It doesn't fix the problem. It only makes that moment of disappointment makes it worse. You couples, you might be tempted to say, oh, but if he or she had just paid better attention to our finances, we wouldn't be in this problem. We wouldn't be in this situation with our money. Those of you who are single folks, who are in a dating relationship, hey, blaming the other person can hurt, and it can hurt very quickly. Be very careful of the things that you say. You and I will face those moments of disappointment. Be sure not to blame others or to blame God. But number four, I want you to see lastly. Number four, in that moment of disappointment, don't quit. Don't quit. Think that Paul and Barnabas were tempted to turn around, go back to Jerusalem? You think Barnabas was tempted to go back home and see his family? You think Paul wanted to go and just give up? Maybe he was tempted to say, you know, we've seen God do great things. We've seen Sergius Paulus get saved. We've seen churches established in Cyprus. I think this is a good time. Just go ahead and end the trip here. We'll save Turkey. We'll save that part of the world. We'll save that for another time when we come back through. But Paul didn't make that decision. We don't see any kind of wavering on Paul's part. He simply trusted God and moved on right through this time of disappointment. When others quit, when others stop, when others don't walk the walk that they were, aren't you tempted to stop and think, you know, I wonder what that would be like? Sure, it would make life easier if I would just set this aside, if I would stop this ministry, if I would quit what I am doing here and just lay back a little bit, just take it a little easier and stop what I am doing. It makes you want to give up, doesn't it? When you see others quit, you are tempted to give up. You're tempted to think of what it would be like if you just took things a little bit easier. Instead, Paul and Barnabas chose to go to the next city and keep preaching the gospel. Brethren, we all face disappointments. They come from every area of life. The question is, how are you going to respond to those things? Are you going to be discouraged? Are you going to get bitter? Are you going to blame God? Are you going to quit? We all face disappointments. But in those moments, you must realize that none of those things are going to help. Those are the natural responses, but they're not going to help. You can turn those disappointments into failures, or you can take those disappointments, look to God for help, and turn them into victories. They can be moments that you can look back on in your life, and rather than being a moment where you have a regret, you wish you handled it differently, it can be a moment that you look back on as a victory, as a milestone, as a time of growth in your spiritual life. Those times of disappointments. It's up to you to decide to do exactly what Paul did here. He trusted God and he moved forward doing exactly what God wanted him to do. He kept being faithful. What will you do in those times of disappointment? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you for the example of Paul and Barnabas. Lord, we don't want to get on John Mark's case too much. The Bible doesn't reveal very much about what he did. But Lord, we can learn from his example, and we can learn particularly from Paul and Barnabas and what they did not do when this young man moved on and left them on the first missionary journey. God, I pray that as we face disappointments in our lives, that we will be faithful in how we handle them, and that you'll be pleased with us as we continue to look forward and to serve you. Thank you for what you'll do through this lesson. Thank you for the morning service we have to look forward to now. In Jesus' name, amen.